Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help us strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation. So subscribe, like, share, and follow, and let us know your thoughts. This is your host, Preach. Let's get into it.
Elijah, our son, had convinced her to shove a cotton ball, like basically make a cotton ball into a worm and shove it into her ear. And I could only see like the very edge of the fuzz of the cotton ball. And then, so I start fishing it out and it just keeps coming and it just keeps coming.
It's like one of those little magic tricks.
Totally was. It was like pulling a scarf out of her hat. And she, what did you tell me? A few days? It had been there for days.
No.
Oh, he got in so much trouble.
How was he?
He's old like enough seven. To know.
Yeah.
Like seven?
I was telling. He was older than that? You're not going to give him anything. That's fine.
She's like, it was yesterday. Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Got him. Yep. Gotta love the kids.
The ears.
Stories, yeah. Well, and the specialist said that they had a doctor who had like a big bowl of all the different things he pulled out. From ears, noses.
Well, he would keep them.
Yeah, he would keep them. And it was, they said it was really interesting. Some of the things that he had to fish out.
Oh,
so,
that's funny.
Yeah. So that was a fun adventure. Thankfully, it wasn't bothering her. Like I said, she went to gymnastics. She was going the whole day without it bothering her. She slept fine. So yeah, thankfully there wasn't any long-term damage.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see what the long-term damage is, Bill, but...
Now you know how much your ear coughs.
I know, right?
Start piecing that out.
So, like I said, this is very conversational, so we can just kind of jump right into it. I've actually already started recording, so we'll probably have some ear talk. I just wanted to talk about this idea of unity within business, within the workplace, and Christian unity within the workplace. And so I sent you guys those questions, you know, just to come with some different thoughts and whatnot. But what's the first thing that came to your guys' mind when I asked you to come and talk about that? What was maybe the first thing that popped into your head, good or bad?
I want to hear the bad.
You want to hear the bad?
Bad news always.
The first thing I thought was, it's complicated.
Why?
Well, I think our directive, the Great Commission, makes it very clear what our mission and goals are in our Christian walk. And it is despite any environment or any other force. And so in my Christian walk, it says, should it be complicated? And then we have all these other regulatory pieces in the civilian world that make it complicated. And that's frustrating. But learning to navigate it. So I love the question.
Yeah.
But I don't want to make light of it and say, oh, yeah, I just do this and that.
Yeah.
Because I would say that it is unique in every single situation.
Well, just like every organization is unique, right? I mean, you have to, every organization has their own culture, their own way of people interacting with each other. And then so in some way, it has to fit within that culture, right? And so it's not as simple or easy as maybe the way you interact with other believers at your church or in your neighborhood or longtime friends, right? So yeah, I can absolutely understand that.
Yeah, I think, I think when it comes to like career and business, church and family.
Yeah.
Well, when I was reading that, I was thinking, biggest thing, I think, is communication.
Yeah.
And connection.
Oh, absolutely.
In the business world, is communication is key. How you express your expectations from your clients, your patients, your employees, all the communication. But then the question is, how do you keep communication or increase communication or improve that?
Yeah.
And then connection in the workforce. First, how do I even know who you are? And I got to make sure I can, the company should create and foster connection in some way. And that which also comes through communication.
Yeah, absolutely.
What type of tools and avenues do we have to create this connection? And so like even with connections, for me, like I'm always open on my faith. So the way that I do it is I always will bring up my walk with the Lord. Me and the Lord is showing me this, or, you know, I'm not sure about you, where you believe in, but I follow what the Word says, and yeah, the Bible I learned and I followed. And so I use that, and that brings it up. And sometimes that'll be kind of like a conversation starter where they'll say, oh, yeah, oh, I go to church. Oh, yeah, I'm Christian. Or,
yeah.
And then if they're not, they're just listening. And for the most part, they're respectful.
Yeah.
And because I'm not pushing it on anyone. I'm just sharing with you what I believe and who I am. And who's to really say anything bad about that, right? Because we're all independent and we're all. But communication and connection, I think, are key. Within the church, same thing.
Oh, yeah.
No communication. There's not going to be any connection. And there's no connection, there's not going to be any kind of growth. And but even with our families, too.
Yeah.
Like with my kids, I can't expect them to know what I want and what I need if I'm not communicating it with them. By the time I'm like fed up, is too. I should have communicated that with them before, and I work on that. Where I want to try to share with them my expectations.
Yeah.
When I'm calm, when things are going smooth, hey guys, we're going to be going in there. I need you guys to this, this, and that. You know, so then that way it's not happening in there. If it does, I already mentioned it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think communication is through marriage, church. I mean, everything is communication.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think you said something too about connection, and I immediately think about relationship, right?
Mm.
I mean, I just did a fantastic study through John, and when you look at it through the lens of that intimate relationship that they had,
absolutely,
it's so special.
Oh, yeah.
And I have found that I lead with trying to build relationship, and then I can, when they say, how was your weekend? Well, church was awesome, but super challenging for me. And my kids made dinner or something like that. Like I always have an opportunity when I have that existing relationship to kind of share that that was part, a really meaningful part of my weekend. And you asked me about how my weekend was. So that is how I've kind of cracked open some things.
Yeah. I think that's a big deal that, I mean, both of you guys mentioned this idea of you're sharing your faith when these opportunities come up. And you mentioned how an organization, it's in their best interest. They should be fostering points of connection between in this opportunity for people to build relationship and have a connection. And that is a avenue for believers to share their faith within the workplace. Because if you're making these connections, if you're taking advantage of those opportunities, then you're sharing about yourself. And what more important to share about yourself than to open up the door and give these little glimpses into your faith, right? And your walk with Christ. And so I think that's an opportunity, like you said, where you actually may end up finding out you have other believers there within,
it is
within the organization.
When they kind of start bubbling up. It's very, I actually jumped, I was on a work trip and I jumped in the car of a coworker and she just had the radio on. It was a Christian radio station.
Mm.
And it was the most beautiful moment where I was like, now it makes sense why we get along so well, you know?
Yes. Wow.
We just had the coolest talk while we were riding to our next meeting. And I was so thankful for that because it explained a lot.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, no, you have to dig into that. You said you were so thankful for that. So,
it was a breath of fresh air.
Mm,
where it was like common ground.
Yeah.
You know when you're in a conversation and you realize like, oh, we think similar about that. That just feels good.
It does. Right? Yeah.
Okay, now we can build off that versus we may be very, very different in our worldly views or how we approach life. And man, when I share a common Jesus thread, we can work. Like that is gonna be fun.
We have to be cautious. I feel like
I'm
cautious, but at the same time, I don't care. Like when I talked to my boss, I left my company for like 5 months, came back, and I'm transparent. I'm completely clear, even with the other company.
Yeah,
like, oh, yeah, I do this. I go to church. I spend time with my family. I'm serving here. Certain things like that. I just want to be clear and transparent
who I
am. And sometimes it can make an uncomfortable for people. And it makes it even uncomfortable for me. But I don't want to look back and think, you know, what if, or I should have. And I always remember, and I know it's kind of a popular verse, but Romans 1:16, to not be ashamed of the
gospel. Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like it's so sad to hear where someone accepts the Lord and you find out like 10 years later and maybe you cross paths with them and we didn't say anything. And it's like, shoot, man, I knew you. We had each other and I failed to say anything at that time. You know? And so thankfully, Lord's always been faithful and giving me my employment and keeping my job. But I'm respectful and I'm cautious, but I'm still at the same time unashamed, you know? And at the same time, it helps me because my line of work, I feel like maybe for yours too, is when you're around so many secular people, at least the men a lot of times, but when you're open about that, then there's, it's kind of like those, oh, I'm sorry. I they say a bad word. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, why apologize to me? Yeah. I don't care.
What yeah. They can be more considerate.
So no, they know, absolutely. They know it's like, okay, he's not a part of that. Uh-huh. So then it's like easier for me. It's like, I don't even have to be a part of it, be obvious or upfront about it. Cause they already know they can vibe that I don't do certain things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've definitely gotten that same thing.
They apologize.
Yeah, when they're apologizing. It happens even more so when they find out that you work in ministry, right? But I mean, I can think all the way back to high school.
Yeah.
Being on the football team.
Mm.
I had coaches apologize to me because of things that they would say and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they knew I was very devout in my faith. They would at times apologize to me, or other players would, you know, adjust the way they talked around me and that type of thing. I remember my senior year, one of my coaches actually pulled me aside towards the end of the season and just thanked me for the way that I was being an example and living out my faith. And he mentioned how it was challenging to him.
Yeah.
And how it's made him want to be more serious about his faith and that type of thing. And so it's interesting because you see it. If he would never have pulled me aside, I never would have thought like what I did around him made any impact, any difference whatsoever. You can tell just by being clear and open about your faith. Mm-hmm. I feel like God brings it back to their minds, you know, at times it brings it back to their minds. And that's why you'll have those moments of them apologizing.
Well, he uses that to then encourage you to keep doing.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord used that to
absolutely
your youth.
I was just thinking the accountability that it builds amongst both.
Oh, yeah.
Is huge.
Oh, yeah.
Because now, I mean, now you know that there's a perspective of measure.
Yeah.
Rightfully.
Exactly.
And then he's holding himself to another standard.
Yeah. I find that real interesting.
Yeah.
I mentioned, and you mentioned, you weren't sure about our business backgrounds. And I just realized people may want to know who we're talking with. Right. So let's I want each of you guys to introduce yourselves really quick. So I just jumped right in, but I just want you guys to introduce yourselves for a moment and share a little bit about your experience, your background. Don't feel like you have to go too far into detail just in case you have some, you know, interesting stories and you don't want to people to tie it back to a specific organization. But I'll also put a disclaimer that we've worked for more organizations than we're going to mention. So, so if we mentioned something that happened in our past, you can't really tie it to any specific organization, but please just kind of give a little intro about yourself, who you are, your faith walk. I know that can be a whole story within itself, but just kind of give a quick touch on where your faith is, where that came from, and then also your history and in organizations and in business. So, well, we'll start ladies first. Yeah, we're gonna let Jen kick it off.
I'm Jen. I'm gonna start with the faith piece first.
Yeah.
So, I was raised in a Christian home. I had the I'm gonna call it a privilege. I had the privilege of going to a private school where we openly were able to talk about our faith. I think that's a major part. I went to undergrad in the South where everyone talks about what Bible study they're going to.
Yep.
And if you're not at church on Sunday, somebody knows. And so that's where I went to undergrad. And then I went on to get my doctorate at another school with much more liberal focus. And I was in medicine. And that was eye-opening to me.
I was going
to
say, was that a culture shock?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was the first time that I went, oh, wait, everybody doesn't just talk about that. Truly. Yeah. I mean, think about all the environments
they've
been in. And it was never uncomfortable till I got there. And then I went into, I'm a physical therapist. So I worked in multiple settings, outpatient, hospital-based, went back to academics again, kind of a shift.
Yeah,
a pull,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
There's just a very clear cultural thing happening there. And you don't talk about it.
Well, I mean, you talk about how we were saying you have to adjust to culture. Right? Navigate that.
Talk about the unwritten rules.
Yeah.
They are happening there.
Oh, yeah.
And then I married my husband who's military. So that's a whole nother element that, Nathaniel, you can speak to.
Absolutely.
So many different dynamics that are important to try to navigate because they're real. And now I work in a private practice setting. And have this just awesome team that I work with.
Yeah.
And I'm a mom and we have a farm and we, you know, do all the life things too. But I think that kind of sums it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's so cool. All right, Luis, what about yourself?
I won't go too far, too in detail, but I actually was born in Mexico though.
Okay.
I'm originally from Southern California. So I was born in Mexico. We came to SoCal in 92.
Mm.
My dad, my mom, my sister, and I was six.
Oh, wow.
And so this is a crazy story within all that. But we ended up in SoCal, raised in a Pentecostal home, Christian home, I guess. My mom's background was Pentecostal. My dad was Catholic.
Oh,
but then he came. It was so so within all that is interesting. But so when we came out here, we started going to not denominational, started going to like a Calvary Chapel type of church.
Okay.
In SoCal. And then so out there, it's actually Harvest in Riverside in SoCal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's where
Greg Laurie.
So the Spanish ministry. So I was serving there for 15 years in many different ministries.
Yeah.
The majority of it was all worship. I was. Started playing drums at 14. So I came to the Lord at 14.
Wow.
But that's when I really saw a change in my dad with really having a relationship with the Lord. Because, he'd go to our, Pentecostal church and all that. Uh-huh. But there wasn't really like a deep transformation in his life. But anyways, I came to the Lord at 14. I remember I was the first one in a Sunday service. And I know Spanish, so we'd go to the Spanish service. And so... Anyway, so that was 14. And then I helped build a worship band at church. And so I just have such a passion with worship and building the youth and getting them giving them a purpose within the church and within their walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's not like, there's your class. See you later. But it's getting their skills prepared to be used with their family and the church and in the world.
Yeah.
Through everything, I think I saw growing up, my dad really coming over here. We had nothing. And we lived with my uncle for a year or so. And so just the hard work ethic that he had, he's been self-employed the whole life, my whole life, pretty much the whole time.
Wow.
And so I think that pursuit that encouraged me and it taught me to be self-sufficient, to do my best. So I've been in sales and business development for like 15, 16 years. And so, it's so amazing to hear your career and your school background. I just have a high school degree and some college. And thankfully the Lord has provided for me, through all of that. And so, but I started working young at 14, 15. And once I started working, it just became work after that. But I started in sales at 18. So once I started making money then, I got to pay bills and do all that. So then it's like school was secondary.
Uh-huh.
And I got married at 25. So we're kind of young.
Yeah.
So, then the Lord brought us out here in November 2020. And so we're in Emmett.
Mm.
And so that's a crazy story with that. Yeah. We thought we were going to Emmett. We thought we were going to Middleton. Ended up in Emmett. We didn't find out till 4 months after we moved here.
That you were in Emmett and not Middleton?
Yeah. It was weird.
Surprise.
Yeah.
There's a mountain in between there.
Well, looking back, we know that the Lord had us go work for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. Yeah. We don't have any family out here. I have a coworker that was out there in Emmett. And so, but anyways, that's just kind of, I think for me through my whole life, my wife keeps saying that I have like an evangelistic heart, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think I'm an evangelist, but I feel like just no fear with whatever the Lord has.
Yeah.
You know, so like even coming out here, my parents were like, wow, where and why? You know, it's like, and sometimes even I love my family, but even as Christians, because they are too.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get distracted by the worldly things or the comfort, our comfort, oh, comfortable homes.
Yeah.
And we forget that maybe the Lord is calling us somewhere else.
Mm.
And then it's like a lot of times that's to help us even, you know, to yeah, stretch us. And to, and so that's kind of, you know, we've just been in this journey right now. And but at home, I got my three boys. We got our, two dogs. We got, you know, chickens. And we have a small orchard, so that keeps us busy. But I won't do any, like, large animals other than chickens.
We got you covered over there.
So chickens and trees.
But, yeah.
Oh, man. That's so cool. I ended up coming to know God when I was in high school. So it was probably around that same age. I was 13, 14. Ended up coming to know God because my brother invited me to youth group. And I went because it was better than hanging around in the motel room. And God just really, he wrecked my world at that time. And from pretty early on there as a freshman, I got connected with some other friends that were highly involved in the church and really just plugged in and committed fully to it. And so I ended up getting a call to ministry when I was in high school, ended up going out to Texas, went down there for schooling and to be part of a discipleship program, ended up going in. I worked with Chick-fil-A, which was like the best, one of the best organizations you can work for. Worked with Chick-fil-A, ended up getting into the fitness industry and doing personal training and running boot camps, joined the Air Force.
Still staying fit. Just
trying to, absolutely. I started to run this morning and my Achilles is bothering me. So I was like, oh, I gotta turn it back, man. Right? it is age. So so I have to give my foot a little rest or my Achilles a little rest, but definitely still trying to stay fit. Still, like, I'm working on a nutrition cert right now. But I went into the Air Force. So moved around to the Air Force, Alaska, back over here to Mountain Home, or here in Idaho to Mountain Home. And after that, went into full-time ministry. It's funny because I've worked with the government in a couple of different ways, both at the federal level with the Air Force. And then I've also worked at a local prison out here with the state. And so that was also interesting. But there's, you know, it is very, I had to ask you, you know, dig into that. Why was it a breath of fresh air? Because I can absolutely relate when it comes to you find other coworkers who have a similar faith and being able to kind of pinpoint that, you hope that it's one of those people where you're like, that makes sense. And not one of those people like, really? So we want to be that person where that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Maybe we need to talk more about that.
Yeah. But it's a breath of fresh air. It's so encouraging just to know that there is another believer there. And I remember one guy specifically, even over at the prison, there was times where I would just, you know, kind of go out of my way to pop into his office just to say hi, see how he was doing. It's because I knew he was a fellow believer and he was in a tough spot in the place that he worked. So I would just go in there just to talk to him and say hi. And that was always nice just to have that familiarity there. And so there is something to that. It's something I can't really even put my finger on, but when you know you have that common bond, you know what? I'm listening to this book, and it's a great book called Speed of Unity, right? And he talks about how within flocks, you know, when birds are flying in V formation, or when you have NASCAR drivers drifting off of one another. He talks about how them working in formation together, it makes things easier. Just when you know, it takes that headwind and they time even the flapping of their wings to kind of build off of each other. And there's something about knowing you have another person who shares your faith where it really does in some way just make the work easier. Not that the work is going to be easier, like easy, but it gives some type of encouragement and strength to know that you have someone that's sharing that faith with you. And I can't even put my finger on why exactly that is, but it is. It's an encouragement to know you have other believers around you.
I often describe it as a charging station.
Yeah.
Like I go into this bubble where I'm like, all right, safe space.
Yeah.
Common belief system. Uh-huh. Like this. Okay. I can recharge here and then I can go back out and I can keep working.
Yeah.
With that, I was thinking through this too. I do have to catch myself sometimes because I will gravitate towards those individuals in a big way. And I look at that as, am I missing an opportunity to minister to someone else because I've decided that comfortable recharge feels a little better to me or safer to me?
Yeah.
So that's just been something that I've had to make myself aware of and call myself out a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
Like, hey, you know what? Go be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, we are not called to be comfortable.
Exactly.
I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, find the verse in the Bible where Jesus says, find me and you will be comfortable. You know, I think it's super powerful and important to identify those people in the workplace for that recharge.
Oh, yeah.
But then having the resolve to say, all right, now I'm stepping back out.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, and also
engaging this in.
If we could propel each other back out, right? I mean, it's one of those things to where you know you have that place to recharge and be uplifted, but to not just, okay, I'm going to drag myself out, but to be sent out. You know, we see that difference within scripture of it just kind of it just happening, right? You don't see that as much within scripture because you'll see within, especially the New Testament, there's usually a sending. Whenever the people of God are engaging in mission, there's a lot of times there's a sending, whether that sending was straight from God himself and or you have other believers sharing in that sending, praying for them and sending them out, saying, we acknowledge this in you, go and do this with our blessing. And so how amazing would that be to not just have a place of recharge, but also this place that says, okay, we're going to recharge and we're sending you back out with purpose. Like we know what we're here to do, right? And that's a big thing in itself is when you're talking about working within an organization, I like to say, and this gets into my nerdy side, but, and I'll maybe break this down further at another time, but I would say the purpose of an organization, whether you're talking a car wash business, McDonald's, any business that you could possibly work for. You're talking a church, you're talking a family, whatever organization, whatever you want to put that on, any grouping of people, usually the purpose of that is unity. When you boil it down to it, it's unity. It's pursuing something in unity together. When that happens, there is an agreement. There is a focus on what we're trying to accomplish. With that, a culture is built, vision is given, and all those different types of things. You have to know your mission and all the whys, right? All the what whys as an organization. And the idea is to unite in pursuit of that. And the more you unite in pursuit of that, the more healthy your organization is going to be. With the Christian element, when you have other believers around you in an organization, you're able to attach something to that that is so much more than the earthly level that a lot of people are playing at. Just the temporal level of finances or, you know, and the different material blessings that they could have. Even when it comes to the organization's mission and vision, a lot of times, you know, we'll join an organization because we believe in what they're doing in some way. That can be fueled so much more by our faith. When you're talking about an organization, when you're talking about medical, right? I mean, and wanting to serve people and help them be healthy, right? When you're talking about serving others in industry, this idea, I mean, who's a better servant,
correct?
than the author and the perfecter of our faith, right? So when you're able to add that element to it, I believe that can lift everything that we do within that organization to another level. And I think that's one of those benefits to having other believers and saying we're doing this together. Because not only can we encourage each other by saying, hey, you don't want to lose your job. Right? But it's, hey, remember who we're really doing this for. Remember what we're trying to accomplish here. And not just in the sense of we're trying to hit these quotas, but remembering how we're trying to serve people, how we're trying to minister through our work. When you have that, I believe that would take that office or that organization, at least those people, to a whole nother level.
As you were saying all that too, I was just thinking about perspective.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, we could have a really crummy day at work.
Mm. It happens. It happens. Even in great organizations, it's going to happen.
But when the word is written on your heart, that does not define you.
Exactly.
Right? And when you have that perspective and when you know that somebody else sitting across the table has the same one, I think that you're able to draw that common thread out again and say, we're going to call that a bad day. And we're going to choose
to
look at it just like that, that it doesn't define any piece of me, my abilities, what God has given me. Right. So I just, but I think that perspective piece has taken a while for me to figure out.
Mm.
Just as you're like a hard charger, you know, at 18, you had your head down, right? I mean, it didn't mean that your walk was less. For man, you're trying to pay bills. You're trying to put this business in order or what. I don't know where you were at that point, but I really felt like I had my head down and I was.
Yeah.
I professionally saw what God wanted me to do. And I thought that was where we were going.
Mm.
And it took me a while to mature into that part of my faith, too, of. How do you do it all at once?
Yeah.
You know, like, how do I keep my eye on that and then also present myself in this professional environment and succeed or do whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
That's interesting. So do you mean like, how do we balance? Like, if my task is to make a certain amount of dials or to talk to a certain amount of people, but then at the same time, remember my mission as a follower of Christ, and how do you combine?
Sometimes they don't line up.
Yeah.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least sometimes and this gets into, again, perspective. Sometimes at least we feel like it doesn't line up.
Okay.
Sometimes we feel like those things don't line up. We don't see how we could do both at the same time. And that's important because perspective can be even more powerful than reality. Just for an example of that is, look at a lot of things that are happening in the world with culture wars, right? And all the different things that are happening. No matter what side you land on those things, what you think to be true, you're going to say is reality. What others are seeing, we would say that's their perspective. That perspective outweighs what you would consider reality to them, right? And I would easily say there are some things that people see perspective wise that I would say, okay, that's not real. That's not true. But because their perspective is set that way, it is overpowering what is reality for them. And they're willing to discard reality for that perspective. And it's not always just a willingness. This is what they believe to be true. So that's how they're going to operate. That's how they're going to interpret things and so forth.
I was talking to a friend yesterday and we were talking about music.
Yeah.
And he was bringing up about certain artists that were secular that have become born again Christians.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it seems like they're still, they're playing still with the secular band.
Yeah.
You know, and that music is a little bit dark, things like that. And then I just feel like, at the same time, but then certain people's point of view would or perspective could be like, oh well, I'm witnessing to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was just thinking about that is when it comes to business and work, as a musician, that's your profession. That could be your work. How different is that too from me being an employee at an organization that's a secular And I mentioned, I was thinking was, if it's
getting
if it's,
in the stuff right now,
if I go back to my old band, for example.
Yeah.
And if they were in drugs, they were involved in some heavy stuff.
Yeah.
That's going to cause me to stumble or to sin in whatever way, you know, then I shouldn't be there. But if there's certain things I think that maybe aren't as blatant and it's just a secular person that I'm working alongside, you know, I think it's a case by case basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm always cautious when it comes to trends or like, oh, this person is now this or now this person is that. Okay, well, we'll see.
Exactly. That's a good, we'll see. Yeah. Like, just.
I don't mean it in a way like I don't think they are, or anything. But it's just in time, I think the wisdom is just kind of being patient and figuring out and just jumping on the bandwagon.
Exactly.
I'm sure you guys are just like that too, where it's the world, unfortunately, the majority is so eager to just jump on
exactly
this trend.
Absolutely.
Before really figuring out, okay, is this really of the Lord? Is it really, is it not? I mean, biblically speaking, in the end times, people are going to fall astray.
Yeah.
And so who knows? But that's just kind of my thought when it comes to that, when it comes to work and business and careers as a believer and as a Christian. Yeah. I think it's hard. And I think we have to be cautious before we are quick to judge.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, not believing it.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. See, the reason I said, oh, you're getting in the stuff now is because just that idea of you can be a believer, right? And you're working for an organization that isn't ran by, you know, biblical values or a biblical expression or a Christian foundation. That happens, I would say that happens more often than not. For the majority of believers, they're going to be working someplace that is quote unquote secular. That's the majority of believers, I would dare to say, are working in a place that is secular. And it's interesting because with what we're talking about, I'm really concerned with my thought is, okay, what about those believers, the majority of believers who are in a secular place? So if you're working within a ministry, it's not always true that even within Christian organizations, Christian foundations, Christian ministries, whatever it is, that there is a sense of unity, of brotherly love and affection for one another and this encouragement towards one another. Unfortunately, that's the case. It's not always true. But even more so, I think we can miss something really special when we fail to capitalize on that opportunity in a secular environment. And I think about the thing that's running through my head right now, and it's probably because my daughter was watching Superbook. It was the story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And so I'm thinking about the time that Israel was in exile or times that they were, you know, under other occupations. And you see these stories of believers within those organizations, within those functions that were very anti-God in many ways, but them being able to encourage one another, them rallying together and reminding each other of their purpose made such a huge impression. You think of Esther, right? And Mordecai and the other believers who were able to rally around her. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think of their good friend, right? You think of Daniel and the fact that he wasn't there alone. He had those guys with him. You can see, you think of...
I was thinking Joseph.
I was about to say that. Think of Joseph.
I don't know if he had anybody.
Right. But
at least biblically.
Right? Yeah. And so, yeah, Joseph, a lot of times you would think he had to go it alone, but he was able to rely on his faith. And he was, like how you were saying, he was really unashamed about that. He put that out there in front of him, and people looked to him recognizing his faith. And then so his brothers and, you know, his family comes in, and I think there was likely a weight lifted and a lot of encouragement that he was able to find there with his family. And I would be hard pressed to believe that he didn't have his own little group of people there within Egypt that he had introduced to his God, right?
Yep.
And so it's interesting. I think you have a model within scripture of believers coming together and encouraging each other within those places that are quote unquote outside of the kingdom. So it's interesting.
Well, I mean, Jesus had his disciples.
Jesus had his disciples.
And they went into places for just them to rest,
yep,
recharge, and for him to sit with his disciples.
Yeah.
Like, the model is there.
The model's there. Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And then he sends his disciples. He sent his disciples out.
And then they sent
into, and they never went alone. Maybe somebody can completely prove me wrong. There's probably examples out there, but I would be willing to bet that in most organizations, there is more than one believer there and you guys just don't realize it. Like the connection has not been made, or we're having too much distinction, right? Because maybe, oh, that's, he's Southern Baptist and he's, and he's from Church of God, right? And so, I find it hard to believe that there's organizations where there aren't more than one. I just feel like it's within God's nature, the examples that I see time and time again, where he's likely placing people where there is two or more there and they could be an encouragement and they could take on that area together if they were intentional about it.
Just prayerful about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like sometimes that's what it's been is when I do feel like I'm on an island.
Yeah.
Lord, just make me aware.
Yeah.
Make me aware of what's already around me that I'm not seeing. Open it up. Give me the words, whatever it,
yeah,
whatever that connection is.
Yeah. Right? And then you find yourself in the car and a radio station comes on.
Wasn't expecting it.
Right.
Right.
Any final thoughts that we kind of want to share and dive into on this before we wrap things up?
I think there's definitely no condemnation in Christ. You know,
yeah.
If we're not open about our faith at work, it's okay.
Yeah.
At the same time, we should hold ourselves accountable.
Yeah.
And hopefully have fellowship with others that can hold us accountable.
Yeah.
And encouraging us to do those things. Well, everybody has different gifts, spiritual gifts, but at the same time, because of the Great Commission that you mentioned when we started talking about this, is for all of us to share the good news.
Exactly.
And, but if we don't, it's all right too. I mean, yeah, if it's a challenge that we have speaking or being open, I think it's okay. But I think prayerfully asking the Lord,
yeah,
to guide us in that.
Yeah.
Because our times are short, whether it's the times that we live in and this, you know, with wherever we are in within the world in the timeline, but I just think that we shouldn't be afraid to be open about our faith and just asking the Lord to give us wisdom to how to open up with that.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, if I could give anybody tips with this, is just share ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, you know, oh, do you do this? Or you do, oh, why don't you do this? It's more just about ourselves. And then
exactly.
I think if they are or they're not, I think that's going to then come up and then God will then show you whether it's, maybe it's just not the right time for you to talk about that. But we just have to have that communication with one another, which will then bring that connection in the Lord, if you do know the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, but.
And along with that, with there being no condemnation, I feel like, okay, so I'm going to point to an example of myself failing in life. I remember at one point, a gentleman that I worked with expressed that he was a believer. And then I remember shortly, and probably within that same conversation, me and him disagreeing on something. And it was a matter of the faith. And I think I just kind of went in on him. And
I want to know.
Right?
I know,
right? Yeah. And I think I just kind of went in on him. And I apologized later because God definitely slapped me, but I apologized later before our shift was over that day. But I just, it made me think of when you were saying, you know, there's no condemnation in Christ, and realizing that we may come into contact with these other believers that are around us, having that grace and mercy and that love to where we should see each other on the same team, and now, and we're not, you know, measuring one another's faith, or, you know, trying to to measure up to one another. And we want to make sure that we come at it with a gracious posture, to where we can encourage one another. We're not trying to fix each other, you know, and all of our disagreements, whatever they might be, just trying to honor and love one another, I think is something that would go a long way with us being able to build relationship and help each other to even to where we are more comfortable sharing our faith. If I was the other guy, I'd be really hesitant to share my faith moving forward, because I just got my head bit off by someone else.
Yeah.
Who professed the same faith. How much more am I going to want to share my faith with somebody that's not a believer when I can't share it with somebody who is a believer?
Or tattoos?
No. It was a hot topic. I'll just say that it was definitely a hot topic across America.
No, but I agree. Oh, I get you saying that. Yeah. I mean, it's so true. I mean,
yeah.
I always reference, we all know John 3:16.
Yeah.
17 said that God did not send his son to condemn the world.
Yeah.
That the world be saved through him.
Yeah.
And with you saying that, I have an organization I'm working with. They're part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a born again non-denominational Christian.
Uh-huh.
And I've never, it's like openly, you know, it's like being at peace with one another.
Yeah.
It's like there's no need to push whatever convictions we have.
Yeah.
Whether maybe biblically certain things, not about their church necessarily, but
yeah.
Whether maybe there's some biblical things that maybe don't align. At the same time, what's going to win them over eventually? Is it going to be my love and compassion, or is it going to be my strong arm?
Yeah.
You know, like the Pharisees, yeah. I mean, how did they win people over? I mean, they didn't. The woman at the well, Jesus won her over.
Exactly.
Instead of getting ready to throw a stone. And even then, Christ was compassionate and loving towards them.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He just said, what did he say? If you're without sin.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, I mean, you mentioned about Christ being the example of a servant. I mean, same thing as a leader.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Yeah.
And I think we overcomplicate things too.
Mm.
And so sometimes it is as simple as just, you know, Christ is the perfect example on how to live.
Yeah.
Within the church, within
yeah.
people around us. And, but yeah.
What about you, Jen? What about you? Any final thoughts?
We have a saying at our house, don't put God in a box.
Mm.
And we call each other out.
I love it.
You know, if you start getting spun up about the logistics of something,
mm-hmm.
oh, you don't think God can take care of that? You just put him in a box, right? It's that kind of thing. And so I think that's when I finally kind of broke through in the workplace side of it too. Like, how am I sitting here thinking that God can't work there too?
Yeah.
Seriously? Like, that's crazy. Why yeah. would I ever... When I think that he can take care of things when I'm standing at the cash register at the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
but he can't come into my workplace, like that's
Joseph.
On. That's silly, right? I mean, it sounds silly to say out loud,
yes.
but I really do think that sometimes that was my perspective because there yeah. were so many rules placed, yeah. on me, right? So that I think would be my thing is that people are thinking truly where have we placed God in a box.
Wow.
And break that apart. Like
yeah.
just tear that down and then move, because yeah. it is, those are the wow moments.
That just makes me think. So Joseph and Daniel in this instance where they're working for these, you know, polytheistic nations and kings, and but everything Joseph set his hands to prospered. How much of a blessing would the church be in this world if every place of work that a believer was, right? If the believer worked there, then whatever they set their hands to prosper. To go in and not to just serve on our own strength and skill, but to say, God, bless me in this work. Make, you know, use me in this place, because I think even in that, if we're able to be a blessing to the organization and whatever, and it can be said of us that whatever our hands are set to, it prospers, that gives God a place to shine. Who was it? There was someone, I just read this quote the other day, but he said to shine so that others can see the light of God in you. Don't shine, you know, for your own attention, but shine so that others can see the light of God through you. And I think God loves that. We see it with Joseph. We see it with Daniel. We see it with people throughout scripture where God will elevate them because they're humble and they'll turn that praise over to him. Man, like how awesome would that be? And especially for believers, if we could, again, have that place where we're encouraging each other to do better and to grow in our positions at work and in our effectiveness at work, to where we're really rooting each other's careers on or rooting each other on in life, that I feel like that would be a game changer, not only for the organization that we're in, but for our lives individually, for our families, and for so much more. If we were able to say, hey, we're gonna pray for each other. We're gonna pray for each other's, you know, success here, pray for each other's work here. And we're going to pray for our ministry here. This is going to be our ministry together.
Because it can be a mission field.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to an exotic place.
No.
I wouldn't mind.
I would not either. We could do that next.
Me Maui.
Right? But you know, and so this is the... This makes me think, you know, you do well enough at work, your business might send you to Maui. Right?
No, so, I appreciate you mentioning that. I think the Lord's timing is always unlike anyone else's.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like for me, if you guys could pray for me, is I left my company 5 months, came back.
Uh-huh.
With business development, you have to rebuild your pipeline, your connections.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
And it's been rough.
Mm.
But at the same time, I mentioned to you, I'm going to be out next week
to
work. And so just a lot of coworkers and secular stuff. And I feel that it's a good reminder that we just keep doing what the Lord wants and glorifying him in everything I do. And then the Lord will provide and he'll give what we need. And
I
don't have to worry. That's a good reminder.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, again, I mean, we kind of talked about how sometimes the concepts are easy, but when you're in the thick of it, it can be difficult. And that's where we need that encouragement from one another and those reminders from one another. Because when it's difficult, that's when it's hard to remind ourselves and stick with it. I know God has been challenging me a lot lately, just even with the aspect of I'm the one who elevates people. I'm the one who will lift up. You really have to throw yourself to utterly depend on God when it comes to the success and being able to speak into certain areas and have, you know, that pipeline grow, whatever it may be. It's crazy because God can do more in one day than we can do in years of putting in work, but it can be difficult to wait for that move and for him to open that door.
Yeah.
It's and it's just being faithful in that, right? Is being faithful in that. And I think that's part of the struggle, because we can question, you know, I'm trying to be faithful, but am I not doing something that I should be doing that would be, you know, getting a better return or whatever it may be? And so it's tough because you have to balance working like it's all up to you, but then depending and praying on God like it's all up to him, and just keeping that in mind that that's, it really is. Yeah.
What proverb is that?
Well, and I don't know if it's a proverb, but I know people say that, to where it's you work like it's up to you and you pray like it's dependent on God. And it's
looking up.
It's one of those things to where, oh, that can be that it can be a struggle.
Yeah.
It can be a struggle. But he is. He's faithful to do that. And it's interesting just because we can work, and it come to nothing. But we can work and he take it so much farther than it ever should have gone. if we're looking to him and trusting in him and that. Thank you guys so much. This was a great conversation. Hopefully we didn't get drowned out too much by the carts and the cars and whatnot. But this was a really good conversation. Let's just close. I want to close just praying for believers everywhere that just within their places of business, it would be their mission field, and that God would make those connections with other believers, and that and having unity there with each other will end up being something that is a blessing to them, their families, and their organization.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's one of you guys mine.
Sure, I could pray.
Yeah. All right.
Lord, we thank you, God, for this time, Lord. We just thank you for your timing and bringing us together, Lord, here with Nathaniel and being able to be a part of something like this, Lord. I pray that you may hold us accountable, Lord, and
yeah.
Keep us humble, God, to be attentive to your spirit, to lead us and convict us and encourage us, God. I pray that you may forgive us, Lord, for falling short. You know our weaknesses and strengths, Lord, and I pray that you may continue to work in us, Lord, individually, Lord, that we may impact the world and everybody around us, Lord. We thank you for this time, and we pray for all those people out there, Lord, that are walking in you. May they be bold and courageous and not be afraid to share their faith, God. We thank you for all of our families, Lord. May you continue to provide for us and just be with those that are out there in secular realms and even within a Christian organizations, Lord, that they may be bold enough, even within their organization, God, to walk in the spirit, Lord, and not in their flesh. So just be with all of us, Lord, and keep us Christ-centered every day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Ha! Hit it. Hit it. Walking in the spirit.
I have to be non-Pharisee when it comes to, like, staff, Christian churches, because yeah. It's like, oh, but I don't live in that world. So yeah, I hear you. Gracious, right? But okay. I just feel like, man, you're not in the secular realm, and you're bickering or not fighting or but we're humans, right?
And we are,
you know,
we are.
Just because we're in a Christian organization doesn't mean it should be perfect, right?
But yeah. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast this week. Don't be shy and don't just stand by. All right, go ahead and like, share, comment, subscribe, and let us know your thoughts. We want you to be part of the conversation. We also want you to not just stand by, be part of this endeavor of helping to strengthen unity in the body of Christ. You can help support this by visiting us at www.nhope.tv. You can give there, and you can also look for opportunities to help and be part of this ministry. We could use the help, and we want to see this go far. And I'm sure you also want to see the body of Christ growing more unified. So help us with this endeavor, share the word, and we'll see you back next week for the In Hope podcast.